Today I'm going to talk about fasting. Not how fasting manipulates or motivates God. Fasting doesn't change God or change His attitude towards you, but fasting will change your attitude towards God. This will help you, so stay tuned for the Gospel Truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing my teaching on healing, talking about how God wants you well. It is God's will for you to be well. Amen? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. God wants you well. And we're now into my fifth week of teaching on this, and I've still got a lot to say. The last week or so, I've been trying to deal with why do people who believe that it's God's will to be well not always receive their healing. And I've taken this teaching from Matthew chapter 17, where Jesus' disciples tried to cast a demon out of a boy and effect a cure for him, and they couldn't accomplish it. Jesus had to come do it for them. And they asked him, says, why couldn't we cast this demon out? And in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. You know, if you've missed any of this teaching, please get the materials that we've offered, because I'm saying some things right here that are different than the way nearly everybody has believed it. And yet, to me, it's essential. Jesus didn't say it's because you don't have faith. He said it's because you have unbelief. I believe it's possible to have faith, faith that would affect a cure if it was by itself. But if it is mixed with unbelief, that unbelief dilutes it and negates the power of that faith. So Jesus didn't say you didn't have faith. They did have faith. They just had unbelief. And I've talked about that there are three kinds of unbelief. He went on to say in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, he says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. He wasn't talking about this kind of demon. He was talking about this kind of unbelief. Unbelief was the subject of the sentence that he was talking about. And this kind of unbelief, an unbelief that just comes through what you see naturally, how do you get rid of that? If you're ignorant, if you have an unbelief that's from ignorance, you tell a person the truth. If you have unbelief because you've been taught the wrong thing, you tell a person the truth. But if you just see something contrary to what God says, you're going to just naturally have a thought of unbelief. It's what I call natural unbelief. How do you overcome that? Well, you overcome that by exercising yourself in the spiritual realm, developing your sixth sense of faith. That's what we were talking about on our program yesterday. Let me turn back over to Mark chapter 9. I've already used these verses. It's the exact same story that we've been studying in Matthew 17, but it's in Mark's account, and he records a few things just a little differently. And it says that he called for this boy to be brought to him. And in Mark chapter 9 and in verse 20, it says, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Now, again, I've said this, that most people believe that this condition that the King James here calls lunatic, that was caused by a spirit, is some type of a seizure. It could be something similar to what we call autism or epilepsy or something like that. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody that had a seizure, but I tell you what, it's frightening. I remember in high school, I was in the high school choir, and we were on risers doing a performance at our, I think it was graduation or something like that. There was over 2,000 people in my high school. So there was 2,000 kids sitting out in this auditorium. We were on stage, and the girl that was standing right in front of me, she turned around during one of these performances right in front of everybody, and we went to church together. So I think that it was because she knew me and she was wanting me to help her or something. But she turned around right in the middle of this performance and looked at me, and she had an epileptic seizure. She swallowed her tongue. She bit her tongue, spurting blood, and she was foaming at the mouth. And just, it was one of the scariest things that I've ever had happen to me. And I didn't know what was going on. I'd never seen this before. But I guarantee you, when you see something like that, it affects you. And these disciples, had commanded this demon to come out of the boy. And the scripture here says that when he was brought to Jesus, so you can assume that the same thing happened when he was brought to Jesus' disciples. When he was brought to Jesus, this demon tore him. He fell on the ground and began to wallow and foam at the mouth. I've seen that stuff happen before. I've seen people have seizures and do things. And I can guarantee you, when you are saying, in the name of Jesus, you're healed, and then the person falls on the floor and begins to scream and yell and have seizures and spit blood or foam at the mouth, you know what? You're just going to naturally have a thought like, it didn't work. It's not demonic necessarily. It's just natural. What you see doesn't match what you believe. How do you deal with that kind of unbelief? See, that's what these disciples were going through. And Jesus said, you have to have much prayer and fasting. And I started on this yesterday. The logic behind this, when you are praying to a person that you can't see, your five senses just think you're crazy. Who are you talking to? I don't see anybody. I don't hear anybody. I don't feel anybody. Your five senses will rebel at this. And a person who is just completely controlled and dominated by their five senses will not spend a lot of time in prayer because it doesn't feed your five senses. And so if you are carnal, that's what the Bible means by carnal. It means dominated by your five senses. If you are just controlled by only physical, natural things, then you won't spend a lot of time in prayer. And on the other hand, if you spend a lot of time in prayer and just persevere, even when you feel like, you know, this is one of the reasons we close our eyes when we pray, so that you won't be distracted by things that you see, but you close your eyes so that you can focus with your heart and not be distracted by physical, natural things. You, in a sense, are rejecting just the physical, natural things, and you're going by what you believe and see in your heart. If you do that many times and over long periods of time, over a while, it's like it says in Hebrews 5:14, you exercise your senses to discern both good and evil. You can literally train your five senses that there is a sixth sense of faith. And you can get to where that's just as real, and your five senses won't be in rebellion anymore. And see, this is exactly what fasting does too. You know, I wished I had a week or two to teach on fasting, but I'm not going to take the time to do that. But many people think that when you fast, they would never say it this way, but most people really believe that fasting is to move an unmovable God. They see, you know, that they've already prayed, they've already asked, they've done everything they knew, and for whatever reason, God doesn't care. He hasn't answered their prayer. Nothing has happened. So what they're going to do is fast. And even a mean, harsh God, the way many people see Him to be, who hasn't responded to them, when they begin to start getting so pathetic and so weak that they're just about to shrivel up and die, even a harsh, unmovable God will have pity on them, and He'll move when they fast, when He hasn't moved when they prayed. That is not what fasting is about. Fasting doesn't affect God. God doesn't answer your prayers more if you fast, and He doesn't answer them less if you don't fast. Fasting has zippo, zilch, nada to do with changing God. God already loves you with all of His heart. He's already commended everything towards you, and everything He has and is available to you through faith in the name of Jesus. You don't have to add fasting to it. So what does fasting do? Fasting is a way of you denying these five senses. It's a way of you denying yourself and focusing your attention away from just physical, natural, carnal things and putting your attention on spiritual things. See, like if you, let's just say, for instance, I was raised in a denomination that you never raised your hand. If you ever raised your hand in church, somebody would say it's a third door on the left, amen, or something like that. Nobody raised their hands. You know, the Bible says, I believe it's Psalms 134, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Lifting up your hands blesses God. It's scriptural to do it. But in the denomination I was raised in, it was weird. It was strange. And, you know, What are you doing? And so I remember when I first started seeing this about how we were supposed to be outward in our praise and worship and how the Scripture gave us a command to lift up your hands in the sanctuary, I remember I wanted to lift my hands, but I was worried about what everybody else would think. I remember being in a Baptist church, and they showed Billy Graham's film about the Promised Land. I forget the name of it. It might have been the Promised Land. But anyway, I was so blessed by it that, man, I wanted to lift my hands, but I was in this Baptist church on the front row. I thought, they're going to kick me out for sure. And so I remember it, my spirit man wanted to praise God and lift my hands, but my mind, my flesh, I was worried about what everybody would think, what they would say. So I remember being on the front row and, boy, just kind of putting my hands like this, kind of hiding them so that nobody behind me could see and stuff like that. And it was a battle for me to lift my hands at first. You know what? If you have something like that to where God is leading you, the Spirit wants to bless the Lord, and yet you're worried about everybody else, you're carnal. You aren't spiritual. The spirit man isn't controlling. The carnal person is controlling. How do you overcome that? Well, one of the ways is to fast. Because when you fast, you bring these physical senses to the surface in a hurry. For instance, taste, your hunger, your appetite is one of your strongest five senses that you have. People have cannibalized each other out of hunger. People will steal. People will kill in order to satisfy their hunger. Most people won't go more than an hour or two without doing something to satisfy their hunger. Most people are literally controlled and dominated by their appetite. And so how do you deal with that? You just go on a fast. It doesn't change God's attitude towards you, but you know what it'll do? It'll make your sense of appetite, taste, come to the forefront, and it'll try and exert itself and say, feed me, I'm hungry. And if you say, nope, we're going to fast all day long, your appetite will say, I'll be dead by noon. I'll never make it more than a few hours. You know, the truth is you don't starve to death in a few hours. It's actually good for you to go 24 hours without food. It helps cleanse your body. That's what the medical profession says. You aren't going to die in one day, certainly not in half a day. If you feel faint and you're getting a headache and all of these things are happening, it's not physiological, it's psychological. It's your appetite just desiring food. And so what you do, you deny it and say, I deny it. This man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I am going to draw on spiritual strength and not just physical strength. If you do that, I guarantee you, your physical flesh, your sense of appetite is going to rebel and say, I'll never survive. So you say, all right, we'll go 2 days. And your appetite will say, no, I'll be dead for sure in 2 days. And you say, all right, 3 days. And after a while, you know what will happen is your flesh, this carnal sensation, will say, if I'm going to survive this, I better shut up and yield and submit. And over a period of time, you get to where your senses learn that, you know what, I didn't starve by noon on the first day. There is something more than just what I feel in my physical body. And God starts speaking to you and things happen. And over a period of time, you can train your senses that there is more to it than what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. That's what prayer, that's what fasting does. It's a way of denying yourself and bringing your emotions and your senses under control. And then when God says you're healed and you claim it and say, I'm healed, and your body says, oh, pain's still there, you can say, body, I don't care what you feel. We're walking by faith now, and your body will say, oh, yeah, I remember this. I remember fasting. I remember praying. I've seen things happen before. And you know what? That sense knowledge won't dominate and control you. It will defer to your faith, and you'll be able to continue on without this counterbalancing force of unbelief that comes through just what you see. But see, if you've never denied yourself, if, say, for instance, you pray and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. Pain, get out of my body. You are gone now in the name of Jesus. And if you've never disciplined your flesh, your body's going to say, didn't work. You still have pain. And you say, body, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to go by what you tell me. And if you've never disciplined yourself, if you've never fasted and prayed, your body will say, Oh, is that right? Who are you to tell me that you aren't going to do something? Says, I tell you when to eat, what to eat, how much to eat. You haven't denied me one of my lusts, one of my desires in 2 decades, and now you're telling me that I'm not in control. Your flesh will just override it. You have to train it. It's like a child. It's got to be disciplined or it'll be spoiled. And brothers and sisters, most of us are absolutely spoiled brats when it comes to our emotions, when it comes to our senses, because we only go by what we see. There's very few times that we spend in the spiritual realm hearing and seeing things contrary to what we see and feel with our emotions. There's very few times we deny our appetite and we just indulge ourselves. And then when we come into a crisis, we're going to tell our body what to do. And our body's just spoiled and rotten and says, you aren't telling me anything. See, you've got to discipline yourself through prayer and fasting. That's what it does. It doesn't change God's attitude towards you. It changes your attitude towards God when you do these things. Well, that's powerful. So see, in contrast, again, here's the context. The disciples tried to cast this demon out of a boy, but he fell on the ground and wallowed in foam. When they saw something that was contrary to what they were believing, they were more dominated by their 5 senses than they were by their faith. But in contrast to that, when Jesus cast the demon out of that boy did the same thing. The demons threw him, but Jesus wasn't moved by it because Jesus spent more time in the spiritual realm than he did in the physical realm. What he believed was more important, more dominant and controlling to him than what he saw or what he heard or what he felt. I don't know if you've understood what I've said here today, but I believe that this is probably the dominant reason that most people who don't see a healing manifest don't see it. The dominant reason isn't because they don't believe. Now, again, if you don't believe, you won't receive. But among those who believe that it's God's will, if you believe that God wants you well, if you know the Scripture that by His stripes we are healed, we were healed, if you believe that, you've got the faith that it takes to be healed. It's not a lack of faith. It's the fact that you've got all of this unbelief. And it could be unbelief from ignorance. It could be unbelief because you've been taught the wrong thing. But in most cases, it's just unbelief because we are so adapted to the physical, natural world. We spend so much time there that by reason of use, we've just become sensitive to the natural things, insensitive to the spiritual things. And therefore, we aren't able to overcome what we see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. It just dominates us. And I tell you, it's my experience that for you to see the real miracles of God, you've got to get to a place to where you believe something and it doesn't matter whether you can see it, taste it, hear it, smell it, or feel it. If God says it, it's true, and you are, in a sense, it's just like you're able to shut a valve and stop that unbelief at coming at you through what you see. Man, I could give you a million examples of that. But again, this building that we're in, I came from a building that was 14,600 square feet. And I'm now in a building that's 110,000. We're about to outgrow it. I've actually been looking at some property and looking at some things. We're going to have to make another step soon. But when I first came into here, it was huge. And the amount of money that it took to finish this building out and to do things, it was just overwhelming. And this was a totally empty, vacant building. But you know what I did? I put tape down on the floor where every wall, where every door was. And by faith, I started walking this building and praying and thanking God that we did have the money to do this, seeing it. And I never would walk over that tape, like through where a wall was going to go. I always acted like these walls were here. I would open the door when there wasn't a door there, and I'd go in and I saw this and I did things. I know some of you think that's weird, but you know what I was doing? I was walking by faith. I was increasing my faith. I was getting to where I was spending time seeing these things that, you know, you couldn't see with your physical eyes, but I could see them with my heart. And what I was doing, I was overcoming the things that I saw and felt by what I believed. And it all came to pass. And in a little over 14 months, we brought in about $3.8 million on top of our normal operating expense, which we had the largest expansion in the history of this ministry up until that time. So I probably brought in close to $5 or $6 million in an extra 14 months above normal. And prior to that time, it had taken me 5 years to save $30,000. I don't know if that means anything to you, but it was absolutely miraculous. And I'm telling you how I did it. I knew I had faith, but I also had the unbelief of this building staring me in the face there every time I saw it. We had just enough money to build, to dig the sewer lines and put in some of the pipes. And we put those things in, but we didn't even have enough money to cover them up and to close it up. And so every time I walked out here, there was lack staring me in the face. And you know how I overcame it? I started using my imagination. I started praying, walking by faith. I fasted over this and said, I don't care what you feel like. Here's what I believe. And you know what? It worked. And I've done the same thing in the physical realm over physical things in my body. This is what Jesus is talking about. Jesus spent more time with His Father, in communion with His Father, than He did in the physical realm. Now, He was in a physical body, but I don't know if I can explain this to you. You can be in the Spirit, even though you're still in your physical body. You can be thinking in the spiritual realm. You can be communicating with God, even though you never open up your mouth. You can hear, even though you don't hear anything with your ears. You can hear in your heart. And you can get to where you live that way, to where you walk in faith. And when you get to where faith is more real, as real and even more real to you than what you see, then you know what? This natural unbelief will not stop you. It won't counterbalance your faith. You'll be able to overcome. Boy, that is powerful. That is absolutely powerful. Now, this principle that I've talked about is true. But you know what? Again, I refer to that scripture in Hebrews 5:14. Strong meat belongs to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is something that you may see, but then you're going to have to put it into practice, and it's going to take some time. It's going to take some maturity to reach this level, but you can do it. It doesn't have to take 10, 20 years, but I'm saying it's going to take some effort, and it's not going to happen in a day or in a week. It's going to take a time for you to renew yourself, and how much effort you commit to it will speed up the process or slow it down, depending on whether it's a lot or a little. But the principle that I've established here is true, and I tell you, it'll make a difference in your life. Now, today's going to be my last day to offer you this third teaching in my four-part set entitled, Why Isn't Everyone Healed? And so we're offering the entire album, God Wants You Well. There's four parts to that, and we will continue to offer that through the rest of this week and next week. But the third teaching we offer free of charge to anybody who could not or would not send an offering for it. So today's our last day to make the third teaching available as a gift. So I encourage you to listen to our announcer as he gives you this information and to call or write and request these materials today. They would help you, and not only you, but they could help you minister this truth to someone else. So I encourage you to please take advantage of it. It would be an asset to you. And then tune in again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled, God Wants You Well, has impacted thousands of people, producing miracles of healing around the world. We've collected five miracle stories in one DVD that will inspire you and supercharge your faith. You'll witness the powerful recovery of Nikki Oshinsky after a five-year illness, plus a brand new interview filmed 7 years later. You'll be inspired by the Petersons' year-long journey to see their son Jason receive a dramatic healing, and Shirley Vaughn's fight for total health against a lifelong digestive disorder. Rejoice at Leslie and Mary Decker's healings from asthma and the Terades family's journey to seeing their daughter Hannah snatched from the jaws of death. The DVD is titled Healing Journeys Volume 1, and it's available for a gift of any amount when you request item number T3005D. The teaching that lies behind each of these miracles is Andrew's four-part album titled God Wants You Well. It's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for album T1036 and be sure to specify whether you'd like a CD album or a DVD album made from our television programs. The third teaching in the series is also available for a donation. But if you're unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. Request teaching TI3 titled Why Isn't Everyone Healed? When you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Let me mention once again that today is our last day to offer you the third teaching in this four-part set as a gift. We offer our album for a gift of any amount. We don't set an exact dollar amount on it because we want everyone to take advantage of this teaching, and some people could not or would not send anything in. So we say for a gift of any amount, but you do have to give something for the album. But for those who wouldn't send anything, we offer each individual teaching as a free gift. My partners helped me to do this, and we really want you to have this teaching. Today's the last day to offer the third teaching in this four-part set as our gift, so call or write today.
You can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online. Plus, there's a wealth of free ministry material at www.awmi.net. Or you can use credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. This fall, the School of Worship and Music Ministry with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc.
The blending of our ministries together, what a joy for us, because to work with a ministry like Andrew and Jamie that love God's Word and they love worship. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs. The teaching of the Word of God that we've sat under in the Andrew's ministry has really influenced our writing so much.
We have just added a brand new dynamic to our Charis Bible College, and that is that Charlie and Jill LeBlanc, who have been traveling with me for many years, and they have now joined up with our Charis Bible College to open up a school of worship and music ministry. And I tell you, they are powerful, and there's just so many things that they've learned in like 30-something years of ministry that they're going to be able to impart into people's lives.
New this fall at Charis Bible College, the School of Worship and Music Ministry with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc. Call or write for more information.
¿Sabía usted que ahora puede conseguir las enseñanzas de Andrew en español? Varios de los libros más populares de Andrew ya han sido traducidos. Usted puede obtenerlos poniéndose en contacto con nosotros. Visite nuestro sitio de internet.